This is the Lou Rockwell Show.
So great today to have as our guest Dr. Donald Miller. Don is a cardiac surgeon. He's professor of surgery at the University of Washington at Seattle. He's a LouRockwell.com columnist. Take a look at his archive. It's full of fascinating pieces on such things as fluoridation, AIDS, and other revisionist topics. But today I want to talk to him about his wonderful and important point about why you should not get a flu shot. Dr. Miller, tell us why.
Well, flu shots don't work for most people, and they're dangerous. The evidence that flu shots help is weak and has been discredited, and the safety studies have not been carried out sufficiently so that there is evidence that after the first 2 or 3 weeks when the studies have stopped, bad things can happen, like Alzheimer's disease, arthritis, and various serious allergies. And it turns out that there's a better way to avoid influenza than taking a flu shot, and that is take vitamin D.
Don, vitamin D isn't really a vitamin, though, is it?
No, it's a hormone, like thyroid hormone and retinol, vitamin A. And what vitamin D does, it regulates gene expression, and it attaches to receptors on genes that turns their protein production on or off. And vitamin D regulates the expression of more than 1,000 genes throughout the body. And with regard to influenza, they turn on genes in macrophages, which are cells in the immune system that attack and destroy viruses. And it switches on genes that make antimicrobial peptides. And these peptides attack and destroy bacteria like antibiotics. But unlike antibiotics, they also attack and destroy viruses. So among vitamin D's many effects on all these different genes, it has very important ones that keep you from getting the flu.
Well, how much should the adult be taking of vitamin D?
Well, the authoritative government agencies say that the daily dose of vitamin D should be 400 international units a day. The only problem with that recommended dietary allowance is that it's far too low. And instead of 400 units a day, the average weight adult should take 4,000 to 5,000 units a day, 10 times more.
Is this true all year round? Do you need it if you're out in the sun in the summertime?
No. In the summertime, if you sunbathe on a tropical beach, you'll make 20,000 units of vitamin D in 20 minutes. If you are white-skinned, and if you have dark skin, it takes 6 to 10 times longer. But the body will make 20,000 units a day and then shut down its synthesis in the skin until the next day. So our ancestors who evolved in Africa in the equator would make 20,000 units a day to regulate their gene expression in the body. But now the majority of the human population lives above 35 latitude north. And in the wintertime, depending on how high the latitude is, from October through March, it's not possible to make vitamin D from the sun because the angle of the sun is such that the ozone layer blocks out the UVB rays that's needed to synthesize this hormone. But if you get sun exposure and you live at a lower latitude for a good part of the year, you would not be necessary to take any supplements.
Don, when you mentioned about the trouble with taking this vaccine, does this have anything to do with the mercury in it, or are there other reasons that the flu shot is a problem?
The main problem is the mercury, and the vaccine makers for this flu season, 2008 and 9, have made 146 million flu shots, and of those, 100 still contain full dose mercury, which is in thimerosal, and the amount of mercury in the thimerosal in the vaccine is 25 micrograms. Now, this is a mercury content that is 50,000 parts per billion, or 250 times more than the EPA safety limit. And mercury is a neurotoxin, which has a toxicity level that's 1,000 times greater than lead. So if you go get a flu shot, you have a two-thirds chance of getting mercury in it. The other third have either no or what they call trace amounts, 1 microgram. And there is one study that was reported in Europe that adults who take a flu shot every year for 3 to 5 years will have a tenfold greater chance of getting Alzheimer's disease. And this is most likely a result of combining mercury with other things that are in the vaccine, like aluminum, which is added to promote an antibody response and is in itself a neurotoxin, and formaldehyde, which is used to inactivate the virus, because the flu vaccine and shots are all dead viruses. And so when you combine mercury, aluminum, and formaldehyde, it renders them much more toxic together through a synergistic effect than each one would be alone. So I think, although the conventional medicine world is not too interested in exploring this concern about Alzheimer's, I think there is good biological plausibility that you do increase your risk significantly of getting Alzheimer's if you get a flu shot. And you know, in our society now, I think it's 50% of people over the age of 80 have Alzheimer's disease, or maybe over the age of 85. And then there are studies that have been done where brain cells are grown in test tubes, and when exposed to nanomolar doses of mercury, which would be doses similar to the amount of mercury you'd get in a flu shot, that these brain cells develop the pathologic changes of Alzheimer's disease.
Don, what about autism? There are a lot of people in Europe, I know, who think that the thimerosal has had something to do with the vast increase in the cases of autism.
There's very good evidence, which I reviewed and written about, that the risk of Alzheimer's in adults is mirrored by autism in infants and children. And what's happened is that even the conventional medicine mindset has had to recognize that the mercury in childhood vaccines is sufficiently dangerous that it's been taken out of all the childhood vaccines. So now children are not getting mercury except in the flu shot. And the government, in its wisdom, through the Advisory Committee on Immunization Practices, has deemed that children, healthy children 6 months now to 18 years old, it was to 5 years old, the last flu season just been expanded, should get a flu shot every year. So this is a source of mercury that can promote autism via the flu shot.
What about the shots that they're wanting to give all sixth grade girls to prevent allegedly cervical cancer? And we have, you know, in Texas and other states, Merck having lobbied the legislature and the governors. And these shots are, of course, very expensive, I think $300 or $350 a piece. They're wanting to force all children to have these unless parents make a very big fuss.
Well, the parents need to make a very big fuss because they're dangerous, much more dangerous than they are beneficial. And it's really an outrage that political bodies would support the pharmaceutical companies in trying to mandate this vaccine, which should not be given at all.
At the beginning of the Bush administration, which I also think of as the pharmaceutical administration, and to virtually no attention, the Congress passed an administration bill that said that you could not sue a pharmaceutical company for having mercury in its vaccines. And it suppressed all state laws and said that they were federally protected, which, of course, struck me as an indication that somebody knew something. But this is maybe one of the reasons that the companies that are producing the flu vaccines have no concern, or at least a number of them, about getting the mercury out.
I think you're quite right, Lou. It's been written into law on some of those after 9/11 to protect the vaccine industry so that they can not have any liability.
It's an astounding thing, but it's so great that you write your articles for LouRockwell.com, and I know the work you do for Doctors for Disaster Preparedness, and that you alert people to things of this sort. I've also been very impressed by your work on fluoridation, and I know that you have a filter at your house. It's not enough to stop using fluoridated toothpaste, but you have a filter that filters all the water that comes into your house. And, of course, we've been propagandized for, what, how many years, I guess, ever since the 1950s, that only a nut would not want to be forcibly medicated by the government. And given this this very powerful chemical in every ounce of water you drink and every shower you take and every piece of clothing you put in the washing machine. But you've been one of the people to talk about why this is not a good thing from a medical standpoint.
Well, you know, it's interesting. Fluoridation to prevent tooth decay evolved out of our warfare state because in the Second World War, fluoride was used to make aluminum for airplanes, and vast amounts of fluoride were required to make an atom bomb. because the fluoride would be used to form a fluorouranium gas, and then through a semipermeable membrane, it would separate out the fissionable U-235. And so all this fluoride is being used, and it's being discharged into the atmosphere and killing the livestock and plants, and it's potentially a big problem with litigation. And sodium fluoride had been used commercially as a rat and bug poison and as a fungicide and a wood preservative. And so here's all this chemical having to be used in warfare production and what to do with it. So as I've written about in my fluoride piece, Andrew Mellon, who was the founder of the Aluminum Company of America and was U.S. Treasury Secretary at a time in the 1930s when that made him head of the Public Health Service, got two of his people to look into fluoride and do some studies in rats and come up with the view that fluoride will prevent tooth decay. And then what was considered a poison is now healthy and should be added to the water to prevent tooth decay. And it only helps children, if it does at all, to age 5 to 12, who drink less than 1% of the water. And there's good evidence that fluoride doesn't prevent tooth decay. It does just the opposite. It makes the teeth weak and harms them. But this has evolved into a situation where almost two-thirds of the municipal water supplies in this country are now have fluoride added to them. And this poison is a public health disaster from my view after reviewing this area.
Don, I get the feeling that everything the government tells us about medical care, like everything they tell us about the warfare state and the welfare state and so much else, is baloney.
Yes, unfortunately, I think there's a lot of truth to that, Lou. And the problem with what the government tells us about medical care and the pharmaceutically oriented conventional medicine is that it has lost sight of the importance of nutrition in good health, so that nutritional supplements, vitamins and minerals and antioxidants and so forth and a good diet are ignored. And as a result, there are a lot of chronic diseases now that require attention.
I mean, is there even an indication that maybe some of what the government has recommended in the past has helped stimulate some of these chronic diseases, diabetes and some others?
Well, I don't know if it's of conscious intent, but there's no question that the government food pyramid espousing vegetable oils, demonizing saturated fats, saying that a low-fat, high-carbohydrate diet is healthy is turns out to be wrong, and that all of the excess carbohydrates and vegetable oils, the omega-6, canola, sunflower, so forth, cause inflammation. And the omega-6 oils are essential, but they need to be in a balance with the omega-3s from the fish oil in a 2-to-1 type of ratio. And our diets are such that Americans consume 50 times more omega-6, which sets up inflammation. And now we're learning that heart disease, coronary artery disease, so many chronic ailments have at their root inflammation.
So don't pay any attention to the Department of Agriculture about your diet any more than we pay attention to the Food and Drug Administration about pharmaceuticals or to the big research pharmaceutical companies that are in league with the FDA pushing so many of these drugs on us. I mean, certainly we know from an economic standpoint, given the vast subsidization of the pharmaceutical industry, that there are far too many drugs and far too many types of drugs, far too many slight increments in drugs. And so we end up with a situation where we have people put into a nursing home and then immediately put on 20 or 30 different prescription drugs.
That's right. You're absolutely correct.
Dr. Miller, so great to have you with us, and I hope you'll come back. And I want to remind everybody to take a look at his archive at lourockwell.com. He's a wonderful revisionist on everything from the Civil War to AIDS, and you've heard now about vaccines, fluoridation. All his articles are worth reading. Take a look at them. Dr. Don Miller, thank you very much.
Thank you, Lou. Take care.
You've been listening to The Lou Rockwell Show. Produced by LouRockwell.com, the best-read libertarian website in the world. If you'd like to advertise on this podcast or on the website, email advertise@LouRockwell.com. And thanks for listening.